The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Pomerantz deals. Fly ball left center. Crow Armstrong is on the move. He's running out of room. It's gone! William Contreras gives the Brewers a 1-0 lead on his second home run of the series.
The pitch. Shanna drive out to left. It is back. Happ at the track at the wall. Bye, bye, baseball! Long live Andrew Vaughn!
Here's the pitch. And Terang, a fly ball to center. Crow Armstrong's back at the track. It is gone! Bryce Terang! An October moment gives the Brewers insurance here in the seventh. Patrick at the belt. Lifts the leg and deals. Got him looking. Cutter on the outside corner, and Happ is frozen for the final out of the top of the sixth. Uribe deals to Carson Kelly. Swinging a bouncer to short. Ortiz has it. And the Brewers are going to the championship series. They take 3 of 5 from the Chicago Cubs. And the Brewers have a date with the Dodgers.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Big day in the city of Milwaukee as your Brewers are hosting the defending champs, the Dodgers, at AmFam Field tonight. Game one of the NLCS. We dreamed about days like this, and now it is here. When we were getting the George Webb's burgers in the summer and they had the win streak going, it was like, this is cool, this is nice, we'll celebrate it, but we got bigger goals, and the Brewers continue to check those boxes off of their list. I do kind of like the way that Murph is approaching this, winging it sort of thing from a pitching standpoint. I know the matchups are going to dictate what he does, but there's this idea, Gabe, of like, hear me out. It's very philosophical. It's very like psychological. It is like, we're so good as a team, we don't even need to have a distinct plan in place well in advance. It's kind of like we can sort of cobble this thing together, and because our team is so good, this is kind of what I'm saying Murph is sort of putting on his players. We're going to be fine, right? There's no panic in this organization. There's no like, we're preparing days in advance. We're, you know, gnashing our teeth and grind, you know, rubbing our knuckles together. This is idea of like, hey, we'll figure it out. We're going to figure it out. And I kind of feel like that is a Murph mind bleep for the Dodgers as well.
They have a plan. They have a pitching plan.
Well, yes,
they know what they're
saying,
doing.
The fact that they haven't announced it yet,
They know what they're doing. They know what their pitching plan is.
You understand what I'm saying from a psychological standpoint? This idea of we're not panicked. Like, we'll figure it out.
Sure, but like also the Dodgers, you know they are not buying it. You know, like the Dodgers also not buying it. Yes, they already know. Like, they know, just like the Cubs weren't going to buy it, right? Council knows Murph better than anyone. Yeah, the Brewers are going to have a pitching plan. They just haven't let the world know about it.
Is it Ashby?
Again, they haven't let the world know about
no,
it.
No, I know, but I'm just...
Gabe, what would you do? We asked Buster this morning. What would you do if you were planning the pitching for tonight's game against the Dodgers?
So the fact that they didn't just come out and name either Priester or Quintana makes me think that they're going to go opener before they go to one of those two guys. So Ashby makes the most sense because you're going to want a lefty in that spot to face Ohtani. Yes, then, as Buster mentioned, you have to pay the Teoscar tax. But if you're able to get through, easier said than done, Ohtani and Betts, then you can be careful with Hernandez before you face Freddie Freeman, who's also another left-handed bat, and hopefully get out of the first inning with no damage done before you turn it over to who's ever going to get the bulk of the innings tonight, whether it's Priester or Quintana. But I'm curious to see what they also do with this roster because they, with the off days that they had in the NLDS, they had the weird off day between games at home for TV purposes. It was the NL's turn this year. You're able to get away with just 12 pitchers on the roster. But if you want to continue to lean on the bullpen, do you end up dropping, my guess it would be Brandon Lockridge. Would you drop Lockridge off of the hitter's side and add yet another pitcher? Logan Henderson's name has been put out there. DL Hall is potentially somebody that could ultimately be a part of this postseason roster? But also, do you want Lockridge for pinch running situations late in games if you think it's going to be tight? If you want to run for William Contreras, you might have to run for Jackson Churio, whose hamstring is obviously not 100%.
I'm just chuckling
so that's what they're trying to put together.
Because you were so angry about Lockridge being in the lineup last week as opposed to just coming off of the bench.
Yeah.
It does feel appropriate that he would be your odd man out right now.
Who else would it be?
Well, no, I mean, again, it's
Lockridge.
Just...
Lockridge wasn't even on the active roster at the end of the regular season, and he made the playoff roster. For one reason and one reason alone, and then he decided to put him in the starting lineup.
God. What's Woodruff's story?
I can't imagine he's going to go at all in the postseason.
In this series?
In the postseason.
In the postseason?
He said, so I think it was Kurt Hogg of the Journal Sentinel who asked him during the celebration on Saturday if he'd be ready to go. He hasn't even started throwing, Chu.
Oh, really?
Hasn't even started throwing as part of a rehab. So, you know, I guess it's a never say never type situation, but I can't imagine he's going to be ready to go. Even if they beat the Dodgers and do something they haven't done since 82. Can't imagine he's going to be ready to go. If he hasn't started throwing yet, that sucks. It stinks, but you got to come up with a different plan for it.
Chu, we thought that the Brewers' rotation was going to be a strength, and I would argue that it has been, at least during the regular season, but to your point about Brandon Woodruff being out, like, that obviously affects everything. Do they have the depth to be able to make this run? Because can you legitimately cobble together a pitching staff every night, night in and night out, for the stretch of a 7-game series against the Dodgers? It felt like winning the first two games of the series against the Cubs, and I know in part was because they did cobble together the pitching staff on a nightly basis, but it's a 5-game series.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like, you know, 7 games? I don't know that you can do that night in and night out. I don't think you can say, hey, starters, go out and give me 3+4 innings. I think some of these guys are going to have to go deeper into games in order for them to actually win this series.
You're going to have to get at least 4 whenever Miz, whenever Quintana, whenever Priester pitch. Like, you got to get 4 innings out of those
and
guys.
And do you need to get 5 or 6 out of Freddie?
Yes. Yeah. Freddie's got to be the horse that he's been, without a doubt.
It feels like Packers receivers. You got a bunch of really good guys.
Yeah, but guess what? There's
outside
one.
Freddie.
There's
anyone also, great?
But Freddie's great. Just like Matthew Gold is
great.
Freddie's great.
What they can't have, you just can't have a Priester game 3 against the Cubs.
Yeah, you get 2/3 out of a guy. That's going to add
too much stress.
A lot to, yes.
I mean, 2 winnings, fine. 2.
2 is easier to absorb.
I'm talking from the other guys, not Freddie. Freddie, we need going 5.
Oh, yeah. Freddie's got to be, I think Buster put it perfectly. He's got to be their Madison Bumgarner when Bum was just the guy they rode for, I think it was almost over a decade ago at this point, for the San Francisco Giants. But Freddie's got to be as good as he was in game 1 the rest of the way. That's how good Freddie's got to be. He's got to be the guy that you ride. He's going to go up against Yamamoto tomorrow. And Freddie's got to come out on top of that matchup.
Well, and let's not forget about Chad Patrick, who has been fantastic for this Brewers team in the postseason and obviously had a very big night Saturday. Yep, that's when it was. Just trying to keep the old days straight here. Saturday night. But I like him in the role he has been in, because there's been some talk about maybe, well, you make him, put him in a starter role, whatever the starter is right now for your Milwaukee Brewers. But he's been so dominant doing what he's doing, which is sort of coming out of the bullpen and then being able to shut the opponents down. I don't know if you want to mess with that chemistry game.
I like him being that multi-inning guy if you need him to be. If you need someone to get 2 innings, or like on Saturday, you know, inning and 2/3 because you got to come out and put out a fire, I'm cool with that, because the dude has been throwing strikes.
Do you leave the Miz where he's been?
Yes.
Second or third out of the pen?
Yes. And honestly, the thing that makes me nervous about Miz right now, and as fantastic as he was, the 2 games he got to pitch were at home. And Dodger Stadium, not going to be as raucous, I think, as Wrigley was. But whenever Miz pitches, it's going to have to be on the road.
Well, maybe game 2. If he's not in the, right? Oh, you're saying you want him on the road?
No, he's going to pitch on the road. Because Freddie's going game 2. That's already been announced.
Yep.
So,
So
Miz is going to have to pitch on the road. Because he's not pitching tonight. He threw too many pitches on Saturday. He's going to have to games 3, 4, and 5 are all out in Los Angeles. He's going to have to do what he did, but he's going to have to do it on the road. That's the next, I guess, hurdle that he has to clear in terms of his challenges.
It's not as steep as a Game 5 situation. It's not a win-or-go-home situation, too. But do you think we see Trevor McGill again in that opener role? Because he was fantastic. I mean, he was a tone setter for the Brewers on Saturday night.
Well, who starts Game 3?
Game 3 is probably whoever you don't use tonight between Quintana and Priester. Whoever, whichever one you don't use tonight is going to be... And maybe he doesn't start. Maybe that guy is... Again... The long guy, I guess, at this point is what we call him if he doesn't end up starting games.
Yeah. I trust Murph. Murph knows what the hell he's doing. I'm not going to stress. I'm fine.
Keep telling yourself
what time's
that.
The game?
Yeah. Keep telling yourself
We've
that,
told
pal.
You what time the game is like 6 times in this show.
I know.
Thank God they're playing at 7. That extra hour when they played at 8. Oh.
Couldn't agree more.
Oh.
I feel that way about tomorrow night's game that we're going to as well. We'll get home at 1 a.m.
Let me tell you guys about my friends at Mantality, because if you're feeling like you're running on empty, that's where Mantality Health can step in and help you. Okay, what am I talking about when you say running on empty? Low energy, motivation, fatigue, you're just tired all the time. Weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat, you're feeling anxious, moody, or irritable. Those are all signs of low testosterone, and Mantality Health can help you out with that. They focus on free testosterone levels, which many doctors overlook, ensuring that your treatment is tailored to you and your body. They offer FDA-approved testosterone therapy combined with semaglutide to target fat while maintaining muscle. So what does this mean? Well, if you start working with Mantality the way I have, your energy comes back. You can burn off that belly fat. Your muscles strengthen. You start to feel like yourself again, confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be your best for yourself and for your family. So go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. That's mentalityhealth.com/radio. Find out how to book an appointment and find out how Mantality Health can help you like they've helped me.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sweetest Day is coming up. We want to make sure that you're equipped to make that special someone in your life extra happy with the Welke's Sweetest Day giveaway right here on 94.5 ESPN. From now through October 16th, coming up in just a couple of days, head to welkessweetestday.com to register for your chance to win a Sweetest Day prize pack, a bouquet of flowers from Welke's Milwaukee Florist, and a $100 St. Kate gift card could be yours to share. To register, to win, and for full contest rules, head to welkessweetestday.com.
If there was one bright spot yesterday, and look, there were several. I don't want to overstate that there weren't any bright spots yesterday for the Green Bay Packers. We're going to talk to Rob Domofsky in just a few moments. But I do want to spotlight special teams and the situation they found themselves in from a kicking standpoint, Gabe. That was impressive, what they were able to do.
Yeah, I mean... Everybody thought that McManus was going to kick, even after, and it went under the radar, I think, with everybody because everybody was getting geeked for Game 5 for the Brewers. When they signed Haversick on Saturday afternoon, they signed him, added him to the roster. They had an extra roster, two extra roster spots where they were able to add him. And Rob Domofsky told us yesterday that he was told, hey, this is emergency only, probably not going to have to use you, but in case we need it, and turns out they needed him. Because McManus wasn't ready to go. He was listed as inactive, and they got good out of Haversick yesterday. A couple of field goals. Kickoff seemed to be good. Worked out for the Packers.
Are they going to lose him, though? Because they'll have to move him back down to the practice squad.
Oh, I mean, they'll just straight up cut him. Well, no, he's not on the practice squad, Chew. He got signed with roster.
I know, but you don't, when McManus is ready to kick again, you don't think they'll move him back down?
They'll just cut
the practice
him.
Squad?
No, they'll just cut him.
Okay.
Because he'll
he
has
a hell of a job.
It's not like they can send him down to the practice squad anyway. They got to cut him before they can add him to the practice squad again.
Yeah.
I can't imagine he's going to be around.
How does that work? You get paid by the kick? So. I mean, I know you don't, but like, you get paid by the game? Is it a game salary? That's an interesting spot to be in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just go out there and play one game. But again, the point is maybe you earn yourself a roster spot somewhere else. Maybe you show in that game under those circumstances that you are worthy of a job in the NFL. And
he hadn't kicked in an NFL game since 23.
Unbelievable.
Looked good for the Packers. He made one. Josh shared the video. I think it was Schneidman who had put it out there. He made one from 63 during warmups. That would have been good from 75.
It was unbelievable.
Really?
Oh, it was. It hit like halfway up the net. It was unbelievable.
Why are kickers so much different today? I mean, I remember back in the day, like Jackie, his top end was maybe 53, and he was considered one of the better kickers in the league.
I think there's a lot of things that contribute to that. I think just overall, the athletes have gotten bigger, faster, stronger, and I think that includes the kickers and the specialists. But also, guys know about the importance of sleep. Guys know about the importance of diet. Guys know about the importance of supplements, and all of that stuff contributes to everybody being a little bit better now, save a few, you know, unicorns, right, that were out there back in your day, too. But I just think everybody across the board is better athletically than they were in your day. You always tell us about what were you guys grabbing after games? McDonald's, rolling through the drive-thru, pounding some brewskis. Yeah, exactly.
Couple brats at tailgates as we were making our way home.
So much more information out there now about how that detracts from your athletic performance. Now, I know he's struggling with the athletic part, and the kickers part is really where his brain is having a tough time connecting now.
What was Longwell's top end or Crosby's? It wasn't 60, was it?
I mean, Crosby hit a couple of big ones. I mean, it's just teams are also willing to risk it more, I guess, in today's NFL. Like, you were only going to kick a 60-yarder in case of emergency.
Ryan Longwell's longest field goal was 55 yards with the Vikings against the Bears in 2007. And now guys are kicking 55-yarders in their sleep.
Wow.
I mean, the Bengals attempted a 67-yarder yesterday, and he made the first one. He just made the first one.
That's crazy.
Luckily, LaFleur called timeout.
Did you guys see him look over to say if he should call timeout there?
Oh, please, can we not?
We know that for like a fact after you take a timeout, field goal percentages drop? That's like a thing we've known for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and especially on a 67-yarder. Like, it has to be, right? You know, if it's a 30-yarder, like, do whatever you want. Like, who cares? The guy's going to make it regardless. But for a 67-yarder, to have to make him kick it perfectly twice? Yeah.
Yeah, you generally don't want him to get the kick off at all. But the confusion there was confusing me. If I know that, shouldn't Matt?
Haven't we had this conversation? Do we want to do this?
Probably should ask Rich.
We've got Rob Domofsky coming up. We can certainly ask him about the decision-making from the head coach right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Hey, guys, if you're looking to bring more organization and beauty to your home, I cannot recommend Closets by Design enough. I worked with Doug and his team in Mequon. They were able to create a warm, incredible, inviting, organized space for my closet. What really stood out to me during the process was the personal attention. They took the time to understand exactly what I needed, showed me a lot of great options, and made sure that everything fit in my space perfectly. Closets by Design has been a leader in custom storage solutions since 1982, combining quality, beauty, and a true commitment to customer satisfaction. Yes, they're a national brand, but Doug and his team are based in southeastern Wisconsin. They've got a showroom in Mequon. So if you need inspiration, you want to see some ideas, visit them in their showroom in Mequon. If you're ready to get organized, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed when I said wait. Did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to talk about this morning with the Brewers in the NLCS and the Packers getting a win yesterday over the Bengals. And for more on that, we have Rob Domofsky joining the show right meow. Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today? Hi, Rob.
Hello.
There you are. Good to chat with you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We got a big day, obviously, with the Brewers game tonight. We're very excited about that, but obviously want to recap what happened yesterday. Because I got to tell you, as much as we don't complain about wins, I still think there are things to complain about in the game. And, you know, one thing that we have talked about this morning is, when is Matt LaFleur going to take the reins off of Matthew Golden? You drafted him for a reason. It is very obvious. His talent pops off the page, pops off the screen. Why is Matt LaFleur so hesitant to just name him wide receiver one?
Well, because, Jen, you know, they throw to the open guy, right? That's what we've heard for however many years around here. I say that sarcastically. You know, Matthew Golden, I wonder if his patience is running out, because after the game, you know, we asked him that basically, and he's like, yeah, I want to be that guy, but I realize, you know, I just got to take my opportunities when they come. But it almost felt like he was biting the inside of his lip, you know, like, I mean, he's publicly, you know, he's said all the right things, but I got to believe that he feels like, and feels like he's shown that he deserves, you know, a lot more opportunities. It just doesn't seem like they're willing to do that with anyone, whether it's Golden or feed the ball to Tucker Kraft. I mean, I've felt that way, you know, about Kraft in the past, and it's never happened. So you'd like to think that it will, but I can't sit here and tell you that eventually he's going to get 10 targets a game.
Rob, what was your takeaway from the defense?
Yeah, I mean, they're coverage guys. You know, I realize you got, you know, two unbelievable receivers, but, you know, I thought they had some coverage issues. No blown assignments. We're not seeing, like, guys run free wide open, but they're not just not making plays on the ball, Chewy, and I can't figure out why. Yeah. Because this is a defense that, I mean, they took the ball away last year like crazy. You know, I mean, Xavier McKinney had an interception 5 straight games to start the year. They only have 2 interceptions all year, and one of them was kind of a freebie from Flacco in the Cleveland game, just basically a punt. So, you know, I know you can't live by the takeaway, but you got to start taking the ball away. It makes things a lot easier. It takes possessions away. It gives your offense the ball in advantageous situations. And, you know, if you're not taking the ball away, it just puts more and more stress on you.
Rob, did Brandon McManus suffer some sort of setback? Because he was convinced he was going to play during the course of the week. Yeah. They did sign Lucas Haversick on Saturday, right. But you told us yesterday on Green Bay Game Day that his people were told, yeah, this is emergency only, just in case he's not able to go, and McManus was inactive.
That's a great question, Gabe. I watched right after the pregame show, I went out to the field and watched Brandon McManus go through an extensive warm-up. I mean, he was kicking, I think, 54, 55 yarders with no trouble. And I think, you know, they huddled up. It was McManus, Bisaccia, Gutekunst, and a bunch of the medical people huddled up. And I could sort of tell by the way that conversation was going that they weren't going to let McManus go. McManus sounded like he wanted to go. And they held him out. Now, after the game, he said, yeah, we all made the decision. But, you know, he didn't kick all week until pregame. And, you know, it wasn't like he went out there, kicked 3 times in pregame, grabbed his quad and said, I can't go. I mean, this was – he must have kicked – I bet he kicked 20, 25 balls before the game. And I think I saw one of them hit the upright. The rest of them looked pretty darn good. But, you know, they said afterwards it's a long season, and they wanted to hold him out. You know, he talked earlier in the week, Gabe, about how this happened to him in Denver. But after the game, he made an interesting point. He said, you know, in Denver, it was later in the year, so we didn't have the long term to think about, and we weren't very good, so I kicked anyway. So, I mean, I think those are two, I guess, factors in why it's early in the year, and they think they have a good team that they don't want to mess up.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, as he does each and every week during the Packers season. According to snap counts, Jordan Morgan got 49, Sean Ryan 11, but they were rotating at the right guard position. Has Jordan Morgan done enough to lock up that job?
Yeah. It was rotating after one series apiece, and then the rest of the way, it was all Jordan Morgan. I think that one series that Sean Ryan played was those all 11 snaps, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know if it's a rotation or they just decided they were going to go, you know, the rest of the way with one guy, and that's the way they're going forward. I got to be honest, I wondered if they were going to possibly give Jordan Morgan a shot at left tackle. You know, Rasheed Walker was on the injury report last week, but it's been pretty clear that Jordan Morgan is one of their best 5, and that he needs to be on the field. I would be surprised going forward if it's much of a rotation or if it's the same type of rotation where it's, you know, a series here, a series there for Sean Ryan, but this is Jordan Morgan's job. You know, and the crazy thing is he has resisted playing guard for so long since he's been here. But that might just be his best avenue to being on the field, you know, close to 100% of the time.
And just a quick follow-up there, Zach Tom also played. We weren't sure if he was going to. Did he look healthy out there to you?
Well, he did, except after the game, he was in a ton of pain. Like, he was having trouble getting undressed. He wouldn't say whether he thought it was a good decision to play. Basically said, it's not as bad as it was before, but it ain't good. When we asked him if he should have played, he's like, I'm not answering that. I don't think they're out of the woods yet with Zach Tom, because he looked like he was in some significant pain after the game.
Rob, do they have to worry about Parsons getting frustrated? Not by being double teamed on every play, but the rest of the D line really not picking up the slack. Mm-hmm. I know Van Ness had a sack, but there really wasn't a lot of pressure all game long.
The thing, you know, Van, when you brought Van Ness up, he left the game with a foot injury and is going to have it checked out today. Now, they did say the x-rays last night were fine, but, you know, there's obviously only so many things you can see on an x-ray. I was surprised when I looked down at our ESPN analytics sheet after the game and that they had Parsons with five pressures. Didn't seem like that to me, I guess, live. Mm-hmm. I have to go back and watch it. But I do think as long as Mike is a guy who's getting to the quarterback, I think he's going to be happy. But you're right. Like, you know, Rashawn Gary was leading the league in sacks a couple weeks ago and hasn't had one since. So they do need to find some production there pretty soon.
Talking with Rob Domofsky on a Victory Monday. And Victory Monday brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Josh Jacobs had his best game of the year, but he was also sick. Was he?
Yeah.
He was discharging on the sideline?
Discharging.
That's a great word for it. I should use that in my story. I just went with vomit or puke. I think I like this card. I didn't use my Matt LaFleur thesaurus on that one, I guess. The thing with Jacobs is, like, it didn't seem to bother him. And he told us afterwards he's had some of his better games when he's been sick. I looked up the, and maybe Jen would remember this because, as we all know, I don't watch college football, but the 2018 SEC championship game, he had two touchdowns and he was puking all that game as well. He claimed he had a game with the Raiders that he had 130 yards and two touchdowns and he was sick. I could not find a game that he had 130 yards and two touchdowns and also that he was sick. Maybe nobody wrote about it. Maybe nobody knew about it, but I did do an extensive Google search trying to find it and could not, but I don't doubt him because after the game, he normally talks to us forever. He stands there for 15, 20 minutes. He was about 4.5 minutes and he was the sweat. He had that sick sweat going on. I'm glad I was way in the back. I wasn't, I was reaching my tape recorder in from the back. I'm glad I wasn't up close, but man, like I just continue to be impressed with this guy from a couple of reasons. I mean, the guy's played every game since he's been here. I mean, I know he's only been here a year and a quarter or whatever, but like the guy answers the bell every single time. He's patient. He had a rough start to the year. They had a rough start to the year from a run blocking situation. But this guy is just, he is, I think he's everything you'd want in a running back or anything you'd want in a teammate, a football player. You know, we asked him if he got a game ball. And he goes, no, the kicker. And he goes, and I'm embarrassed to say I don't know his name. I apologize. But he got the game ball, and that's fine with me. That's just another crazy aspect of this. Is you go out there and play with a teammate whose name you don't even know, right? So that's football, I guess.
The kicker. He did a great job.
Well, to be fair, I've struggled with his pronouncing his name as well.
Well, I don't even think he could. I don't even think he knew where to begin.
Haversick?
Yes.
Haversick?
Yeah, Haversick.
Haversick.
And Josh Jacobs was Haversick.
All right, we'll score one for the dad jokes this morning. Listen, we're not always right about things. I know, breaking news here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but were we wrong to crown this defense after the first 2 weeks of the season? Because we were thinking, finally, they have a championship-caliber defense, and it feels like they have been underperforming. Should we be pumping the brakes on this defense carrying them to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, ever since Aaron Rodgers said after week one of that one season. I think it was when they beat Chicago in the opener. Mike Pettine's first year as defensive coordinator. You know, I think Rodgers said, "Hey, we have a defense now," and they really didn't. Ever since then, I've been hesitant to crown anybody at any point before about Thanksgiving. I think it goes back to what we talked about right off the top. I mean, I think they get three or four takeaways, and all of a sudden you're looking at them a little bit differently. It is a little bit surprising or baffling why Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper looked so good the first couple games and really haven't done much since.
Are they missing Wyatt? Is it as simple as that? Like he's
yeah, you know what? I guess, but I mean, it's hard to imagine one guy would change it that much, but maybe it does, especially up the middle of the field where those guys play. But I'm just using those guys as an example, Jen, of things that we saw early that we haven't seen of late. And I think there's more of that as well.
Rob, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Always good stuff. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, sir.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
He's Rob Domofsky. You can, of course, follow him on social media and on ESPN.com. Read his stuff on the Packers. Got to take a break. Roll on right after this.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. Best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Of course, I was always going to trust Dean, the Dancing Machine, and the helpful team that they've put together over there. But maybe you don't have an idea. Take a look at the Pinterest page, bring some of those ideas in, and they'll always help you out. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, Jewelry Center, going to have you covered. Take a look. Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, take a look at the online inventory shop, TJC.com. When you head to the Jewelry Center, tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, we talk about BetterHelp a lot, guys, because it actually works. I've been going to therapy for 15 years. I can't tell you the number of times when I've gotten myself in a jam where I've had conflict in my life, and I talk to my therapist, and she helps untie those knots. And if you find yourself hitting a brick wall, having trouble navigating some of those situations, therapy could be the answer for you as well. BetterHelp has more than 30,000 therapists. It's the world's largest online therapy platform, served over 5 million people globally, and it works. It has a 4.9 out of 5 average rating on the App Store. World Mental Health Day just passed. But guys, every day is a good day to pay attention to your mental health. Our listeners get 10% off their first month. Just call #250 and say the word timeout. That's #250. You can text it or call and say the keyword timeout for 10% off your first month with BetterHelp. I want to start this by saying, as we continue creeping closer to tonight's game one of the NLCS against the Dodgers, no matter who lost the series between the Cubs and the Brewers, the fan bases were going to be salty. Okay, somebody was going to be salty. But the Cubs fans were very, very upset when the Brewers posed for a picture on the field and somebody held up the L flag, of course, in reference to the W flag that they hold. The fans hold at Wrigley Field, the Cubs fans hold. They fly at Wrigley Field, fly the W. Somebody held up the L flag. Now, it was the wrong color. I know a lot of people pointing that out. But Gabe, what would you say to these Cubs fans who are upset that the Brewers, the team, held the L flag after beating their heated rival, the Cubs? Craig Counsell in the other dugout. All of the narrative, all of the storylines. What would you say to Cubs fans?
Cry more. Just cry more.
Crying queen.
You're so mean. You're the crying queen.
Yeah, this is what was going
to
happen.
Really had that ready to go.
My favorite part was, it's the wrong color anyways. Yeah, cool. Because we really care about that.
Yeah, you got
That's all got me good. Oh, it's the wrong color. Shucks. Like, I mean, of course this was what was going to happen. And then the Cubs fans who were complaining about, we're living rent-free in their head. No, man. The fact that this is getting to you, the Brewers are living rent-free in your head.
Yeah,
this
didn't they start
to the
chanting?
Victor goes the spoils. This is what happens. It was a heated series. It was a quick, it was about as long of a 5-game series as you could possibly have over the course of 8 days. And guess what? The Cubs fans were probably going to be dancing in the streets too if you won the series. To the victor go the spoils. This is what happens when you lose to a rival in the postseason. You get trolled a little bit. Guess what? Just got to own it. Just got to wear it. Your team lost.
At least we're more original than they are. I mean, they started chanting, what, Green Bay sucks?
Yeah.
That's... After one of their games.
Yeah.
That was a good zing. The L was a good zing.
Yeah, playoff. Yeah, so you win. Your baseball team wins a playoff game, so you start chanting about the football team.
And for whatever it's worth, and I don't know how much this matters at all, I don't think that the Brewers fans were like giddy. Brewers players were giddy about doing it either. From what I heard from people who were on the field, they were sort of reluctant to even, you know, hoist it up there and really gloat in that way. They sort of passed it around to each other, got a little chuckle out of it, passed it to somebody else, and then it was only Trevor McGill who was like, "Nah, bleep it," and threw it up for the picture. So yeah.
I don't know if you saw Contreras in the picture. He's doing phone call down, which I know wasn't meant to. I mean, he didn't, when he hit the home run and did the phone call, it wasn't anything to do with Craig Counsell. Of course, it had
certainly
nothing
when Abner turned towards the dugout, did it in their face, and then returned back to his teammates.
This is nothing to do with the Cubs. I don't know why you would think that. What could possibly lead you to believe that hanging up the phone had anything to do with the Cubs and Craig Counsell?
Very quickly, let's go around the horn. How's everybody feeling about game one tonight? Still, the pitching has not been announced, last check, so we're still kind of keeping it close to the vest, who's going to be trotted out there. I feel good. I feel home field advantage. Brewers fans are going to come out. They're going to make that a hostile environment for the Dodgers. I feel good about game one. You, Gabe?
Got to get to Blake Snell early. Again, it's just about getting off to that quick start. Don't let him get settled in. Brewers didn't get to face him because he was injured for most of the season for the Dodgers. Got to get to Snell early with those right-handed bats.
I feel great. I feel good. I feel wonderful.
Brewers. 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 Willie and Tausch is next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.